I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is where you will find your safe space if you're an independent thinker or aspire to be. We are beholden to no party, no politician here for a couple hours. Something to get used to. Lots of stuff over the weekend. Today's going to be a bit of a thought project. It's been pretty interesting to watch some of the things that are covered that I know have got probably some pretty popular conservative reactions, but some thoughts that I will add for your consideration. That's a little cryptic way to say it, but it really is. It's kind of interesting in watching what's been going on with COVID-19. And if we think it out just a little bit, we'll understand better how we got to this spot. My quote of the day today is from C.S. Lewis, and this explains a little bit of it. Of all the tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victim may be the most oppressive. It may be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity may at some point be satiated. But those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience. The tyranny of the busybody, of the person that thinks that they are stripping you of your freedoms for your own good. This has been going on for quite a while. We're going to get into one particular target of the show in just a second as I play a clip. I was stunned to see an action that is being taken here in central Mississippi that people are putting up with, but we'll get to that in a second. Marvin Hagler. Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Sounds like, according to Tommy Hearns, was killed by the vaccine. Nobody wants to be explaining to us which one he took. Kind of interesting. Ireland and Norway are pausing their AstraZeneca vaccines, yet our so-called leadership continues to tell you, it doesn't matter what shot you got, just go out there, rush out and get it. I want you to listen to this if you're in the minority community. We've talked a lot on this show, and you've seen out there they're trying to get particularly the black community, and I think maybe the Latino community also, to turn their backs on their vaccine hesitancy and rush on in and get these shots. Last month, the Defender reported that a 58-year-old woman, this is a woman of color, a black woman, died hours after getting her first dose of Pfizer's COVID vaccine. State and federal officials said they were investigating her death but did not perform an autopsy. A public records request revealed emails between State Health Commissioner Norman Oliver and public information officers that suggest officials were, quote, concerned the death of Keys, who is black, could worsen vaccine hesitancy among minorities, reported the Virginian Pilot. So you see, they just won't tell you the truth. Again, this is a bunch of people who think that if you have all the facts, because to be quite honest with you, a lot of black people have gotten this vaccine and have not died. But they don't think you can handle one. They don't want you to see either side, you know, only one side of the ledger. Everything is safe and effective. You got to rush out and do it. If you're not doing it, you're just being dumb. And so they're actually actively, if they did this with this one 58-year-old black woman in Virginia, how many other deaths will they cover up? Again, Marvin Hagler died. Tommy Hearns, the other boxer, said he was in the ICU battling complications from the COVID shot. But they're not telling us that Marvin Hagler was actually killed by this vaccine, because they need to cover these things up. Because again, Marvin Hagler was a black guy, and they don't want to do this. I was absolutely stunned. The AP said it out loud. The AP, of all places, one of the talking points news outlets. They just report, essentially, I guess, ostensibly what they're told to report. They actually said this out loud nearly a year. This is on the AP, believe it. nearly a year after California Governor Gavin Newsom ordered the nation's first statewide shutdown because of the coronavirus. Masks remain mandated, indoor dining and other activities are significantly limited, and Disneyland Park remains closed. By contrast, Florida has no statewide restrictions. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis has prohibited municipalities from fining people who refuse to wear masks, and Disney World has been open since July, despite, listen to this, this is on the AP. Despite their differing approaches, California and Florida have experienced almost identical outcomes in COVID-19 case rates. How have two states that took such divergent tacks arrived at similar points? Amesh Adalja, a senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, said this, quote, "This is going to be an important question that we have to ask ourselves. What public health measures actually were the most impactful and which ones had negligible effect on or backfire by driving behavior underground?" Huh. Yeah, that is a question you need to ask yourself, and it's the question that many of us from the outside have been asking you for quite a while. What the hell do you think you're doing? It has been the Mike Madison slogan during the past 10 months. I didn't come up with this the first couple of months, I got to tell you. I didn't know what we were dealing with. But once I kind of knew that this was just a virus like every other virus and people weren't dropping dead in the streets, my mantra, my slogan here at this show is virus gonna virus. And it turns out that that is more accurate. That three-letter slogan is more accurate than anything out of Anthony Fauci or Thomas Dobbs' mouth over the past 12 months. But at least the AP is willing to look at it and run an article saying, huh, isn't this interesting? It doesn't matter what you do. The results are the same. And this is important because we're seeing Europe go back down into lockdowns right now. Italians rushing out to get haircuts before they close everything down. Paris is looking at another lockdown. The variants, they're coming this way. They're going to try to do this to us again. But of course, if they lock us down, they'll tell us that the science warrants it, even though even the AP admits there has been negligible, if any, difference whatsoever between lockdowns and mask mandates in places that didn't do it. And then there is the science, right? Anthony Fauci, Thomas Dobbs, all of the health authorities, all of our politicians tell us, implore us to follow the science. And what has the science been for the last 12 months? 6 feet. Don't get anywhere near another one of these biological hazards called human beings. Stay at least 6 feet away from each other. It's science. And I've made fun of this because I said, of course, yes, it's not 5.5 feet. It's 6 feet. It's not 6.5 feet. It's 6 feet. It's not 5 feet and 2 inches, it's 6 feet. That's the science they try to tell you. All of these arbitrary things they tell you are science, are just made up stuff. Restaurants, you've got to go down to 25% occupancy, 50% occupancy, because I guess 60% would be catastrophic. 45% is too, we can let you go from 45% to 50%, but not from 50% to 60%. That somehow is a health crisis. They put these numbers out there and they tell you just to obey the science. And what's the biggest science of the last 12 months they've been telling us is 6 feet. You've got kids in some countries. I don't think we've done it here in the United States, surprisingly, or at least I haven't seen it. You got kids wearing essentially helmets where they've got things sticking out 3 feet from the side of their head to give them 3 feet, and then the other kid has one on that's another 3 feet to make sure they keep them 6 feet apart. You got schools and restaurants separating everybody by 6 feet. You go into every bank, every grocery store, everywhere you might stand in a line, you got a sticker every 6 feet because 6 feet is the science.
In terms of CDC guidance, as you know, the guidance for social distancing, for how far people should be, There's a discrepancy. Some places, some health organizations say 3 feet or a meter is enough. But here in the United States, we say 6 feet. There's this new study from researchers in Massachusetts just out this week. It found no significant difference in coronavirus spreading in schools where there was 6 feet of distancing versus 3 feet of distancing.
Huh.
But that six-foot requirement, that's one of the main hurdles to reopening schools.
Right.
Does this study suggest to you that 3 feet is good enough?
It does indeed, and that's exactly the point I'm making, Chuck. What the CDC wants to do is they want to accumulate data, and when the data shows that there is an ability to be 3 feet, they will act accordingly. They have clearly noted those data. They are, in fact, doing studies themselves. And when the data are just analyzed, and it's going to be soon. I mean, Jake, you're asking the right questions.
So the 6 feet apparently had no data. I believe there was maybe some airplane study done. They took somebody into a plane, and then they coughed or sneezed, and then someone ran out with a tape measure, tried to catch the part. How far out did the particles go? 6 feet? Again, does this explain it? There is no such thing as the science being an exclamation point at the end of any theory or anything. They tell you to trust the science. And particularly the Democrats say, we just trust the science. Well, it turns out the science of 6 feet had basically no bearing in fact. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. This would also call into question how busy restaurants could have been, how close people could have sat to each other. 3 feet is basically normal human distance unless you're a close talker. Thank you, Seinfeld. But it just turns out that this was just completely arbitrary. There was no science backing that up, same way there is no science backing up the mask. There is no science to closing the schools. There is no science to keeping restaurants at 25, 50, or 75% occupancy. There is no science to any of these things.
And the CDC is very well aware that data are accumulating, making it look more like 3 feet are okay under certain circumstances. They're analyzing that, and I can assure you within a reasonable period of time, quite reasonable, they will be
reasonable, except if you were a restaurant owner and you were forced to remove every other table for the last 12 months and went bankrupt. Turns out for nothing.
I mean, guidelines according to the data that they have.
So any mayors,
it won't be very long, I promise you.
Any mayors or governors or school district heads listening right now, if they hear you right now and they say, well, it sounds like Dr. Fauci thinks 3 feet is good enough, that will enable us to open our school. That's right?
Well, Jake, I don't want to get ahead of official guidelines.
Science.
I can tell you and promise you, I talk to the CDC, to Dr. Walensky every single day. She is acutely aware of the accumulation of data and the fact that her team will be acting on the data the way they always do.
All
just
right.
Stay tuned. It's going to come, and it's going to come soon.
You know what? If they were honest at the CDC, if Anthony Fauci were honest, if Jake Tapper at CNN were honest, if Thomas Dobbs was honest, if George Flags was honest, if Lumumba was honest, if all of these people were honest, they would look back at the past 12 months and say, the data is finally in. Everything we did was completely meaningless. It had no effect on the transmission, the death rates, the cases. The only thing that we accomplished was crushing people financially, throwing them into depressions, and scaring the bejesus out of everybody. That's it. That's all. The data is in. Places that did absolutely none of these restrictions had exactly the same outcomes, and in some cases better, than places that put in the most draconian measures. They'll never tell you that, because they aren't honest, and they will never tell you that what they just tried to do was a giant social experiment that was a miserable failure we all suffered through. And there is one tyrant left in Mississippi for sure that I'm going to get to when I come back. And I'm going to lead it with this quote, "Nothing is so loved by tyrants as obedient subjects. People within the sound of my voice quit being obedient subjects." I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
WIED is based in Flora, and our bias of coverage is to the east to get the Jackson metro area. I don't know how well you can hear me. Weather has some impact on it if you can hear me in Vicksburg, but for the love of God, stop your mayor. Now, I've always heard George Flags was a nice guy. I don't know if that's true. I don't know the man. But I'll start again with another quote of the day, which is, "Nothing is so loved by tyrants as obedient subjects." And I guess Vicksburg is just full of obedient subjects. George Flags clinging to the mask mandates even as he lifts some restrictions that he has exercised, and he alone. Back to my original quote of the day, "Of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its own victims may be the most oppressive." George Flags thinks he's saving the world over in Vicksburg by all of these measures. And apparently he doesn't read the AP story that I just reported to you. He doesn't listen to the Anthony Fauci clip that I just played for you. He doesn't see these things that show that none of these mitigation efforts that he's undertaken just by dictation. He just says it happens, and his cops go out and enforce it. None of it works. And then I heard this. This was on the news, I think, on Friday.
Effective today, people in the city of Vicksburg will have to continue wearing masks. 16 WAPT's Troy Johnson joining us now live. Troy, what other COVID-19 emergency orders are taking effect today?
Well, Megan, the civil emergency order that was signed by Vicksburg Mayor George Flags also establishes a curfew for juveniles. That's from 7:30 p.m. until 7:30 a.m.
What? George Flags, through one of these emergency orders, has locked down kids 17 and younger for 12 hours a day. 7:30 p.m. to 7:30 a.m., children under the age, or 17 and under, are not allowed to move about Vicksburg. The sun is not even down now by 7:30 with daylight savings time. You have got a tyrant running Vicksburg, and he thinks he's doing it for your own good. I'm going to give him that credit, either that or the man is just purely a psychopath at this point. I'm going to give him credit for his intentions and his refusal to look at the evidence of the last 12 months that show that none of these mitigation efforts work, and the people 17 and under are statistically zero when it comes to serious hospitalizations and deaths from coronavirus. Now, this may be a crime issue. Chokwe Lumumba has kept these curfews from 10 p.m. until 6 a.m. I guess that's the new kinder, gentler dictatorship. If you're found out, because apparently crime starts at 10 o'clock, and if you're out at 10:05 or 10:10 or 10:30, see, it's all very scientific, just like the mask mandates and the social distancing. 10:20, that's when everything happens. That's when everything goes wrong. 7:30 p.m. to 7:30 a.m., Vicksburg has locked down their youth. Now, if this is an issue about crime and getting up to no good, just like Jackson, he could fix the schools and educate the kids. He could work with the churches and the community leaders to maybe mentor these kids. He could make his city as business-friendly as possible. This is to both Jackson and to Vicksburg. They could make their city as business-friendly as possible to create more jobs. But see, these things are hard. It's easier to just lock kids away for 12 hours a day or 8 hours a day, as in Jackson. And apparently the citizens of Vicksburg are okay with this, forcing their children to be home by 7:30. If it's for COVID, if this is for COVID-related reasons, George Flags, he could lose weight himself as an example to his residents, because we know that obesity, diabetes are extremely dangerous when it comes to COVID. So he could start losing weight and kind of doing a challenge where you get to watch him lose weight and it inspires his residents to lose weight. He could explain the dangers of obesity and diabetes when it comes to COVID. He could lead an educational effort to eat well in Vicksburg to protect people's health there, not only from COVID, but from flus and every other disease, cancer, heart problems. But that, again, is too hard. Just force everyone to slap on an ineffective mask on their face and pretend you've done something is really all that matters. And most people will give him credit for this. And what's truly amazing, and what we are going to watch that is really going to be maddening, is that these mental midgets are watching numbers come down, and they think that they are the reason. Even with centuries, I'm talking about centuries of evidence of seasonality when it comes to contagious diseases, particularly viruses. If you've ever heard of influenza, commonly referred to as the flu, we have centuries, maybe millennia, of data showing the seasonality of viruses. But what will happen is you will see the Thomas Dobbs, the Anthony Fauci's, the George Flags, as cases come down saying, see, look, our restrictions worked. The cases are coming down. And they will keep these mandates on or have them locked and loaded in a holster, ready to roll out again at the slightest uptick in cases, because they will try to convince you that it was them that brought it down in the spring. Last spring, in the spring, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 500 years ago, the spring reduced infectious diseases like viruses. And there's no evidence to back up anything that they're doing, but every evidence to say seasonality plays a bigger part in it. I had to take a moment out of the show to express just my sheer shock that the obedient citizens of Vicksburg are okay with their mayor locking their children down for 12 hours a day. Oh, they make some exceptions for work, Mike. If you're working, you're okay. There's some excuse. If you're with a parent, you're okay. In the United States of America, a 12-hour ongoing lockdown for no good reason should be resisted at all costs. And yet the people of Vicksburg, you should really be ashamed of yourselves. You are setting yourselves up, conditioning yourselves for lifestyle micromanagement by the government. It's absolutely amazing. When I come back, there was video of a 65-year-old woman tackled in a bank for not wearing a mask. And I read a lot of comments on it, saw some of the kind of discussion about it. This thing is just wrong in all kinds of different ways in this scenario, from the woman to the police to the mask to everything. There is so much wrong with this story. But everybody jumps to only their favorite wrong. I'm going to point it all out when you come back. Stay with me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I think so many things around COVID, doesn't matter, foreign policy. I look for teachable moments here. I talk to a largely conservative audience. I almost wish I had a show on the left to tell them to rethink their current path, regain some of the sanity they had. Just 10 years ago, the Democrats weren't like they are right now. A lot of them are waking up too. But to conservatives, I look for some kind of teachable moments to just expand your thinking. A lot of us make decisions, knee-jerk decisions about policies, and we think it happens in a vacuum. People don't like the term slippery slope because they always think, well, their thing has to be done. We'll deal with the consequences later. But this the slippery slope. We've been sliding down this for a while, and I got to tell you, conservatives, the mind in a conservative and a Republican towards freedom and liberty and these kinds of things, there's a kernel of something there, so it's something to work with. If you could just expand your thinking a little bit, think a couple of moves ahead. You might actually be effective at retaining your rights in this country. There was a video that went pretty viral of a woman who was arrested in a bank, taken down to the ground, handcuffed and hauled out just because she was not wearing a mask. And from the video, it looked like there were maybe two people in line. This was not a crowded bank. She was a threat to nobody. She didn't appear to be sick, but even if she was, she wasn't even close to it. I mean, it just the whole thing. But there was just, it was like every single person on that video and in that counter was wrong. The woman was wrong for thinking that a private business can't require her to wear a mask. She's wrong. When I go to the grocery store, I do not put a mask on. But if an employee walks up and wants to tell me to put a mask on, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a mask on, and then I make my decisions on whether or not I want to shop there anymore. The grocery choices are fairly limited. They're pretty much all masked up. But so far, I have been unmolested and the only person in the grocery store not wearing a mask. It's pretty stunning stuff. I'm not a threat to anybody. I'm not scared of anybody, so I don't wear a mask. I just don't do it. I feel like the reason I don't do it is not to be obnoxious or anything like that. The idea is to maybe people will stop the fear, realize that it's okay. They see one person doing it, maybe two people do it, then four people, then six people. The masks do not work, first of all. But number two, I'm not sick. So I'm not a threat. Anyway, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. But bottom line, this woman was wrong for thinking that she can go into a private business and not abide by their rules. I respect private property. I disagree with their policy. This was Bank of America, and Bank of America just probably cost themselves a great deal of money. So the woman was wrong. The bank employee that called the cops is wrong because she's a hysterical rule follower who could have just chosen to let the woman do her business. She could have just let this one woman just go up. You know, the tellers are basically in a... It's like going to visit someone at prison. They got giant plexiglass up. The bank employee's got a mask on behind the place. I mean, the whole thing is just insane. So the bank employee could have just let this woman go about her business, but she couldn't. She just couldn't do that because that was the rule. And the cop is wrong. Is that he could have come in, if you watch the video, he could have come in with a little bit less authoritative attitude. He could have de-escalated the situation and probably just gotten the woman out of the bank and said, look, hey, I know it's annoying. We're all sick of wearing the mask, but this is their policy. So maybe you can do banking online or find a drive-thru or, you know, anything. But he didn't. He came in there and as soon as she got obnoxious with him, and then he got right obnoxious with her, and then next thing, she's face down on the ground. This is a 65-year-old woman that was a threat to absolutely nobody in the United States of America, was hauled off to pretty much the approval of everybody in the bank because they were a bunch of hysterics as well. So just about everybody that I saw in that video was wrong. We live in a society that has just become a zero-tolerance zone. We all must obey. If a rule or something is put out by a bureaucrat or a health authority or a politician, we must obey it. It's the rule. Even an employer, that woman in the bank, certainly had the ability to say, okay, look, I'm just not going to cause this woman a problem. She doesn't appear to be sick. Let's just get her in, get her out, move on with our lives. 99.9% of the people coming into our bank today are all wearing masks. I don't think this is really going to alter the course of human existence if this woman does a banking transaction across a giant plexiglass barrier, moves on with her life. But no, we're all zero tolerance. Kids in school who chew a cookie into the shape of a gun are suspended or kicked out of school now. There are farmers out there who provide raw milk. Some people like raw milk. They don't want it pasteurized. They think there's a lot of good beneficial things in raw milk. But in this country, the United States of America, if a farmer produces raw milk, and people voluntarily decide, make a decision for themselves that they want raw milk. I'm not talking about raw black tar heroin. I'm talking about raw milk. Do you know what happens to these raw milk suppliers? They are raided by SWAT teams. Because it's zero tolerance. Politicians, bureaucrats have told us that raw milk is no good for us, so they protect us from ourselves by shutting down raw milk providers with SWAT teams. Look it up if you don't believe me. And we've gotten to a point where citizens snitching on their fellow citizens to serve this ruling class makes them somehow morally superior citizens. And so we're going into this just high-stepping our way into total fascism, and most people are going along with it, and I can hear you right now, not me, Mike, I'm a conservative. I don't support all of these draconian measures. A lot of you are with me on the mask mandates, on the lockdowns, and all the restrictions. But where were you when the seatbelt laws came out? Nowhere. Because you did the fatal flaw that took us down the slippery slope. You did the, well, it just makes good sense to wear your seatbelt. That will save lives. And our government loves us. So now that I can be people who get pulled over for not wearing seatbelts, making the personal choice, they're not a threat to anybody else, but people who are pulled over for not wearing seatbelts and issued a fine that if they do not pay it, they will end up in a cage. That's their own fault because they won't protect themselves. See, you were the nanny. Many of you still support seatbelt laws because you think to yourself, well, it just makes good sense. Look, I wear my seatbelt. But you just couldn't leave it to the individual. You allowed the government to dictate a mandated seatbelt law to you. And you can't see the similarities between that and now them strapping a mask to your face. Where were you when they were passing laws to stop private business owners from the right to serve a smoker in their bar? Oh, you were all fine with that. Well, Mike, I don't like cigarette smokes, and cigarette is dangerous, and the employees shouldn't have to do it, so it's all right for the government to come in and crack down on these people who have risked everything to open up a business, and they have some catered smokers, but it's no good, and I don't like it, so they should just ban it. Where were you conservatives right now, on your neighbors growing and smoking a natural plant? Oh, no, I don't smoke marijuana. Drugs are bad, so if my neighbor does it, I believe the SWAT team should raid their house and drag them off because the government loves them and wants to protect them from themselves. Do you see how this goes? Where are you on the I hate to always bring it back to this, but the unconstitutional federal income tax. Most of you love it when somebody gets busted for not giving the government their extortion money. I pay my taxes, they should pay theirs. Meaning, I'm afraid of my government, and they should be too. And the state should take them down so more people are afraid to keep their own income. Where are the conservative people out there that have watched, sat back, and encouraged, and cheered, and clapped, and been so excited when the police have become militarized, cheering for it? Look at all the new gear they've got. And where have you been during the last 30 years where SWAT raids on individual homes have gone from 3,000 a year to 85,000 SWAT raids on private residences a year. Been cheering for it. And I ran across a story that's a lot like that, too, when you talk about Republicans. I hear a lot of Republicans out there talking about free speech right now because we're seeing the just disgusting censorship of the cancel culture of the big Silicon Valley firms. And I run across this story. It's up in Kentucky. After one of the most emotional and confrontational debates in Kentucky's General Assembly this year, the state Senate Thursday night approved a bill that would make insulting police officer a crime. See, this is where I say it's this knee-jerk idea that you find your little things and you'll fight for free speech all day and bash the Facebooks and the Twitters and the Googles of the world. You'll talk about the deplatforming. You'll talk about the cancel culture. But then you this back the blue type thing. And look, I support the police when they're doing something to actually protect citizens and not harass them for personal choices. But now you've got a bill where you're going to strip people of their free speech when it comes to insulting a police officer. The bill, which the Senate approved on a 22-11 vote, after about an hour's debate, would enhance punishment for crimes related to rioting, including making it a crime to insult or taunt an officer if the comment provokes a violent response. So if you make a comment to an officer, and again, what I hear from conservatives, and I agree with you, I hear you say, look, you don't have a right to not be offended. Isn't that the thing? Cancel culture, Silicon Valley. The media come after you if you say anything. They want you run out. They want you silenced because you might offend somebody. You've triggered somebody. They classify that as hate speech. And the truth of the matter is nobody has a right to not be ever offended. Oh, except the police in Kentucky. And conservatives, I would imagine, will cheer for this law. That's right. They don't need to be talking back to the police like that. Well, You're just participating just on a different issue as everybody else trying to strip free speech. Can you find it deplorable that some of these people get up in a cop's face and start screaming at him and doing all that other stuff? Yeah, it's disgusting. I don't like it. But the police are no different than the rest of us. They do not have a right to not be offended. And so this idea, and this is what I'm saying, I'm trying to expand, but you have got to understand and recognize the erosion of our rights when you participate in it too. When you cheer for the restaurant to be shut down because some smokers were found smoking in there. You know what the solution to that is? Free market. Don't go. You don't like cigarette smoke? Don't go. You'll put them out of business, and they will probably institute their own non-smoking if they lose enough business. And some places will become the place that smokers go voluntarily, and the people will work there voluntarily. Everything will be voluntary. But no, we couldn't have that. We love watching them crack down on those smoking places because cigarettes are no good. You see this nanny state that you've encouraged? And there's a lot of other things. What we do is we pick out the things, the little laws where we agree with the government coming in and saving us for ourselves. And there's one glaring issue I'm going to touch on in the next segment. If you would just expand your thinking this, these mask mandates, these lockdowns that have crushed people and destroyed businesses, have altered our entire way of life for 12 months. And you see this so clearly as just a real infringement on your rights. How dare you try to protect me from myself with all these overwhelming things? The problem is so many people go in with these laws when it's something that you disagree with. You want the government to protect you against yourself. And I've got one other glaring example of that. It might not be popular, but it's true. I'll be right back. All night.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
Is it the government's job to save us from ourselves? That's what the COVID response has been based on. That's what seatbelt laws are based on. That's what all of these things are of this nanny state. All these do-gooders, they're trying to protect us from ourselves. And I think it finally, maybe there's a lot of conservatives are kind of awake to that. You have now been, some of your businesses have been destroyed. Your kids have lost a year of schooling. They've become depressed and anxious, being cut off from their friends. And you're starting to question, hey, this government tells us this is all for our own good. They have to do all these things. But this has had catastrophic consequences. So I'm curious how many among you that are upset at the arbitrary rules on masks and lockdowns and all the things the government, loving government, tells you that they have to do to protect yourself still support the drug war. And I'm going to tell you why it's the same thing. And the drug war is such an emotional issue. I get a lot of backlash on that on this show. But I'm coming at it from an intellectual point of view, not an emotional point of view. Look, drugs destroy lives. So does gambling. So do cigarettes. So does the food. Go to a hospital. Take a look at the waiting room. Go in and see the patients. Tell me obesity is not a problem. Should the government save us from obesity? I'm going to get into some of the statistics too, but the COVID lockdowns, curfews, restrictions, and masks are just the government trying to protect you from yourself, right? Because, again, they assume that you are too stupid to take your own precautions, so they have to force you to do it. It's the same with the drug war. It's the government trying to protect citizens from themselves. Again, drugs destroy lives. A lot of things destroy lives. It is my job to keep my kids off drugs, not the government's job. It's my job to help a friend who has, and I haven't had any drug addicted friends, but I've had several alcoholic friends. But alcohol doesn't seem to engender the same emotional response because everybody's okay with having a beer or two or a few glasses of wine. Don't touch my fermented plants. But it's those smokable plants you got to go after. And so they say that drugs are bad and they will hurt you. And so they have to pass laws and lock people in cages if they do something to damage their own health. And I looked at the statistics last year, 2019. I imagine the number's up because of the COVID lockdowns. But in 2019, 70,530 people died from drug overdoses in 2019. The funny thing is 200,000 people died from properly prescribed medications, but we're not supposed to compare those numbers. Anyway, so the government tells you that they love you and they're only trying to save you from yourself. So they spent $1 trillion and turned the U.S. into the most incarcerated country in the world. China's a little bit of an asterisk. They just kill a lot of their people there. But outside of that, the United States, the freest country on planet Earth, has got more incarceration than any other country on planet Earth. And it's largely because of drugs, drugs use, drug possession, drug selling, and drug violence that wouldn't even exist. You notice that Anheuser-Busch and Coors distributors are not shooting it out in the streets, right? They take their disputes to a court of law because they're using, they've got intoxicating products, but they're allowed to sell them so there's not gang violence around them. But we've got all these draconian laws, no-knock warrants. All of these are draconian laws because 70,000 people died and hundreds of thousands of others hurt themselves with drugs. It's the government trying to save you from yourselves, just like COVID laws. They don't work and they create huge other problems. And this is how you end up with the tyranny. You've sat back again. I'm speaking to conservatives who mostly disagree with me about this drug war. If it was effective, you might have a leg to stand on. But it's not even effective. Much less it is the nose under the tent of the government coming in and protecting you from yourselves. You don't like it with COVID, but you're okay with it when it comes to drugs. You're okay with it when it comes to cigarettes. You're okay when it comes with smoking in restaurants. And this is that slippery slope. We've been sliding down it for years and years and years. Just arbitrary rules because they want to protect you and protect others. I could do a whole show. I'd really like to take calls. I'd like to do a drug, because, you know, listening to Clay Edwards. I mean, he's talking about the violence in Jackson. Look, you want to ever see Jackson actually not be violent? There's a lot of things you need to fix in Jackson. But the drug war is largely at the heart of violence in Jackson, as it is in every major city. They've created these gangs of people. The same thing happened during Prohibition during the 1920s, and at least we were smart enough as a people to reverse course on alcohol prohibition and say, oh, look at that, people are still drinking, and we've added a bunch of violent crime to it, so let's just go back to people drinking. We're just going to have to put up with that. Humans are fallible creatures, and sometimes they seek to escape reality, alter their brains a tiny bit. And we've allowed alcohol because you will never, ever, ever prohibit your way out of these things. It doesn't matter how draconian the laws are. I'd love to do a show about that and hear anybody that's got a case to make for locking people in cages. Anyway, now you see the 65-year-old woman went to a Bank of America. Now she's in a cage because she didn't toe the line. Be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. This show is... very, very different. I really appreciate WYAB for letting me come on and give you something different. No other radio station in this market would allow me to do this. I'll just be just as blunt as I can be. They just wouldn't allow it. And I turned away from the parties, the political parties, woke up early 2000s. I talk about it often, but this is the anti-partisan show. I believe that partisanship is designed to separate us, to pit us against each other, and to allow what we're seeing going on right now to have happened in the first place, because we won't stand up for ourselves. We just fight the other side. I've said many, many times that Occupy Wall Street and the Tea Party had very similar complaints. They had different prescriptions for the problem, but they saw the corruption. Both of those groups, one left, one right, and they were absorbed back into the two-party blob. Republicans absorbed the Tea Party and got them back in line. Democrats absorbed Occupy Wall Street, got them back in line. But I'm always thinking, it's just an interesting time, because I came on, I started my show before Donald Trump was even inaugurated back in 2017, talking about these kinds of things. And it has been beautiful to watch people fall out of love with the Republican Party in the era of Trump. The problem is they went straight from the Republican Party to Trump, thinking that he is the savior. You spent most of your life thinking the Republican Party was the savior. Now you're soured on the Republican Party. Now you think Trump is the savior. And if Trump isn't the savior, well, at least we got to stick with the Republicans. They're, at least they're not as bad as the Democrats. And same for the Democrats. You started to catch on to the Clinton cabal running it, the Pelosi's. So you reached out, but you thought Bernie Sanders and socialism was going to save you. Always looking for this group. And I ran across an article that studied partisanship. I was attracted to it because the sub-headline that I saw on the link was something about how partisanship makes you dumber. And it certainly happened to me, no offense intended, but if you really think, I look at myself when I was a hyper-partisan, Kool-Aid drinking, neocon, warmongering Republican, and I think, holy cow, was I dumb. They really talked me in some things that were completely inconsistent with who I was as a human being, but I wanted to be on that team. And all my buddies were Republicans, so I was a Republican, and we could all talk about how bad the Democrats were. And we always chose to ignore where the Republicans were bad as well. So there's been studies that have done that looked at the cognitive working of people's brains under the hypnosis of partisanship, and it's pretty fascinating. And basically, without getting into it, it's a long article with a lot of science stuff and a lot of studies and a lot of conclusions by these people, but basically, people's brains get hardwired into thinking along party lines, and they just refuse to accept. The neural pathways are already set. They just discard any information that's not already established as something that they accept. They run into these, they don't even know why they make decisions, why they accept certain things. Like they can't, and this is one of the problems I've had with debating people, whether it's debating Obama with the Democrat or debating Trump with a conservative. They really can't have the discussion because there's no logical underpinning of some of the support you have for either one, but you just do. And this story kind of explained it to me. That could be depressing, but I found a moment of hope in it. I'm going to read just a little bit from what the author said about this idea of partisanship, hardwiring your brain and just captivating you. And it seems kind of almost deterministic. It turns out it's not. The authors are careful to note it's important not to interpret these results as pointing to some kind of determinism whereby we can't choose how to think or what we believe. As one of the study's authors, Stanford psychologist Jamil Zaki, says, quote, critically, these differences do not imply that people are hardwired to disagree. Rather, these neural pathways seem to be carved largely by the kinds and sources of the media we consume. From the data yielded by such research, among many other studies, similar studies, a picture begins to emerge of partisanship as a kind of mind poisoning, an infection that leads to serious and, importantly, measurable cognitive impairment. Evidence suggests that, under the influence of partisanship, we can't even understand our own thoughts and opinions. Now, what I kind of zeroed in on, because I really wonder if I'm just banging my head against a wall with this show in particular, challenging the Democrats, the Republicans, conservatism, liberalism, what passes as conservatism. I wonder, is it even really any point of doing it? Many people may have turned me off because I came on. I followed Herman Cain, who was just he's passed away now. All due respect to him. He was a successful businessman, ran for president as a Republican, but he was about as establishment as you get. And suddenly they had a guy here on WYAB taking his time slot that was talking about ending the drug war. And there were many calls to the station wondering who put this radical hippie on the air. But Again, these neural pathways, this is from the study, these neural pathways seem to be carved largely by the kinds and sources of the media we consume. So if I can play any small part in the media that you consume, maybe I can open you up to a little something, a little different way of thinking to challenge some of those beliefs. If you hear me enough, if I repeat things often enough, maybe you will say, you know what? I hadn't thought about it that way. That's what woke me up. It was just hearing things that were very uncomfortable, but they kind of sparked something. I thought, it kind of makes sense. Ron Paul talking about the endless wars. I was a big warmonger at the time, and I went, huh, that's kind of true. The results of this study revealed a conspicuous, quote, introspective blindness to the internal processes leading to a moral or political judgment. People didn't seem to understand why they had made the decisions they'd made or had not made, though some exhibited what the researchers called unconscious detection of self-deception. These subjects were unable to detect the manipulations of their answers, but they did register lower confidence in the manipulated choices, which the authors suggest points leads to, quote, the existence of a neural mechanism unconsciously monitoring our own thoughts. It's that little twang of uncomfortableness. When you carry water for one of these two political parties, knowing that it really just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I looked at this, and it really seemed to explain so much to me. And there's hope that there's some tiny bit of room for people to change and to wake up to this really uniparty system. Look, I brought on a clip just 2 weeks ago of a former congressman who left, and he just explained the whole game to you. It said it's just like professional wrestling. They get on their little committees. If it's televised, they make their points. They do their grandstanding. They play the two-party game, and then the lights go off, the cameras turn off, and they go out and have drinks together. I've been talking about this for 4 years. You think that they're up there fighting for you if you just get enough of your team in that they're going to somehow make some changes. I don't know if you're paying attention. Not exactly working, is it? But the problem is that most people just exchange one group for another. They finally figured out that the GOP wasn't your friend, you run to Donald Trump. Or you finally figured out the DNC wasn't your friend, you run to Bernie Sanders, or you run to socialism. You think it's just who's running the government. It's not that the fact of the institution is actually just not there for our own interest. And I've got a couple of lists here I'm going to go through. I'm going to show you, and be a bit of an intellectual test for you if you're an Obama supporter or a Trump supporter. Because I'm going to tell you some truths about it and just see if you can even accept them. And I think this would show that you've got at least that little twinge in your brain that just says, oh, yeah, well, I mean, that is true. You may still like the people overall. I'm really not here to pull people away from any of their political saviors, but it's just interesting to me to see if people can even just accept basic facts if it challenges who they've tied their entire identity into. Anyway, I'll go through that when I come back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, so we're talking about this study they did on people's brains, their cognitive functioning, when partisanship is involved. Well, it may not seem really, I don't know, maybe even interesting to people. I find it, I'm always looking for questions as to why people do things that are completely against their own best interest. things that are shown to not work, things that actually make things worse. But they do them because their team says it must be done. Everything from masks to drug war. And the simple truth of the matter is, and I have to wrestle with it a little bit, but not much. I don't really care. People live their lives. I don't really care if you have a set ideology. But most people are not ideological. They don't really have any core beliefs. This is one of my problems of Donald Trump. I don't think he had that many core beliefs. He had some popular ideas. He had some good instincts on things, but he didn't hold fast to them. They weren't things that he just believed down to his core and he was going to stick to them no matter what. I mean, there were laws, I have to ask Stephen Utroska again, we talked about it one day on the show when he came in from Americans for Prosperity, where there were gun laws going through pretty draconian stuff going on during the Trump administration, and Trump banned bump stocks. But everybody just says, well, I support the Second Amendment, but, you know, that wasn't a big deal. I still love Donald Trump. I mean, so ideological things are really not baked into the cake with most people, and this study confirmed it. Says ideological people, whatever their flaws, hold political actors and government bodies to account. And that's what I try to do. I actually believe that, like, I'm radical for freedom. I'm real serious about the government leaving me alone. I don't care what the letter is behind the name of the person running the government. I want to be left alone. I'm real serious about that. This thing says partisans change positions readily and shamelessly, depending on anything from who is living in the White House to the vagaries of public party leaders, to what is perceived as popular at the moment. And that's exactly what we see. If my team does something and it's inconsistent with what I thought a minute ago, it's okay. I'll change. And this just explains so much to me. Here's a list of the things that Obama zombies just refuse to see. Maybe that's insulting. Maybe that's not a good way to approach people who were big fans of Obama, but very few of them listening to my shows. The Obamacare law, his signature legislation, was actually written by health insurance lobbyists. It's just a fact. You can go look it up. Max Baucus, chief of staff, I forget her name and what company she worked for, Aetna or Humana, something like that. They wrote it, and insurance companies' profits doubled over the 3 years after Obamacare. Of course it would. It forced people to buy health insurance products. And prices have gone up ever since it's happened. If yours has gone down, it's simply because the government is paying part of your premium. Premiums have gone up. Obama fans refuse to look at that, refuse to accept it. Obama was bombing black and brown people in 7 countries, more than George W. Bush during his time. But because of this color of Barack Obama's skin, you believe he was somehow great for the minority community. I don't know if he did anything for people of color here in the United States, but he certainly did not do anything good for people, black and brown people in the Middle East and Northern Africa. I can guarantee you of that. Obama ran cover for the Wall Street criminals, and his Justice Department let them get away with all of the criminal behavior that led up to the great financial crisis of 2007-2008. You had this guy, he's a community organizer, big liberal, a man fighting Wall Street, fighting the powerful people, talking about taxing them. Of course, he didn't ever actually tax them, and he let Wall Street get away with all kinds of criminality. Did absolutely nothing. Gave deferred, Eric Holder, his attorney general, gave all kinds of deferred prosecution agreements and small fines to banks that had really just done criminal activity. Obama supporters refused to look at that. And the wealth inequality in the U.S. skyrocketed during Obama's term as he and his elite buddies scooped up the free Fed money while millions of Americans struggled and lost their homes with the foreclosures and everything else. It was a very tough time for most Americans, but the elites did extremely well during the Obama administration. And again, he let them off the hook for all the Wall Street crimes. Now, Obama may have done a few unimportant things for his voters, but he betrayed them on the biggest issues. But again, this goes back to the story of this cognitive dissonance, just people hardwire their brain to just believe. And so all of their core beliefs, they might have been anti-war before Barack Obama, when George Bush was launching the war, so they just think the wars are terrible and the slaughter of people and countries that have done nothing to us is terrible. But as soon as Barack Obama's name is on dropping tons and tons, millions of tons of bombs in the Middle East, suddenly, really not a big deal. So they had no core belief. They had to twist their mind around. It's this pretzel-twisting mental exercises it takes to become a partisan. So there's the popular part of my segment. the things that Obama supporters just refuse to believe. And I'm going to give you a list of Trump stuff, too. And I defy you to find anything factually wrong with it. I'm not telling you you can't still like Donald Trump for some of the things you think he accomplished or wanted to accomplish or how he took on the system or any of these other things. But these are just inconvenient facts if you just want to throw in and say Donald Trump was the savior and we need him back in 2024. So Trump loyalists will refuse to accept or see any of these things, but Trump filled his cabinet with globalists, and the elites and globalists got even richer, richer than they had ever been during the 4 years because of policies that Donald Trump himself pushed. Donald Trump is the one that said, I want zero interest rates, negative interest rates. When the Fed tried to raise interest rates even the tiniest little bit, he freaked out and said, no, more zero interest for the elites. And the wealth inequality that really got cranked up under Barack Obama got even worse under Donald Trump. Yet people believe he was fighting the globalists. He had a Rothschild banker running the Commerce Department. He had Elaine Chao, who people now say is a Chinese asset, running the Transportation Department. He had a Raytheon guy running the Defense Department. He had an Eli Lilly guy running Health and Human Services. He had a Goldman Sachs guy running the Treasury. We're supposed to ignore that, I guess. Trump didn't even mount a reasonable attempt at breaking apart the deep state. He embraced it and grew it. Now, his rhetoric was he was fighting these people. There were no arrests. There was no downsizing of any of these departments. He was planning, I don't know if it's still in the works under Biden or not, he was planning a new billion-dollar facility for the FBI. He thought they deserved a brand-new smanking building, $1 billion of taxpayer monies for the FBI. But his words said, oh, the FBI is corrupt. His actions were to grow the FBI, to grow the CIA, to grow the NSA. Government got bigger than it ever has been under Donald Trump. Trump used the Federal Reserve and huge debt to rack up a bogus economic statistics, and then he claimed credit for the best economy in history, all while the middle class continued to shrink during his 4 years. The economic statistics that he campaigned against in 2016, 2015 that attracted my vote, he flip-flopped on within the first month and said, now the statistics are real, and he used debt. You can do a lot for GDP and jobs if you're willing to just borrow a ton of money. Give me $1 trillion of debt. I will start a business that hires and produces products, does whatever it does. If the debt side of things doesn't matter, well, I can really create something really big. And Trump used those things, and our grandchildren are the ones that are going to be on the hook for it. Our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, generations past that are going to be the ones paying the price for it. It wasn't the strongest economy in the history of the world. It was the most indebted, most levered, most fake economy in the history of the world. Trump wasn't as strong as Kristi Noem, and he allowed hundreds of thousands of businesses and tens of millions of Americans to lose their most basic rights without doing anything other than really tweeting about it. Now, Kristi Noem, I don't fall in love with politicians. I love her approach to coronavirus because she just let her people be free. She educated them and then let them do what they were going to do, which is the American way. Now, Trump wasn't as strong as Kristi Noem in North Dakota when it came to his COVID response. So he spoke out against it, but he did nothing. And he was in a position to fire Fauci. He was in a position to say, my Justice Department stands ready to defend any business that wants to open its doors. There is no asterisk to the Constitution that says, unless there's a coronavirus. He just tweeted at it from the sidelines that you needed to reopen the economy. And I believe his motivation from that was simply for re-election. He wanted to make sure his economic statistics were good. So Donald Trump may have talked and tweeted a lot about these things important to his base, but he did nothing to address any of the structural issues that are actually facing the voters, and you're reaping the whirlwind of them now. I had a listener that sent me an email about Dr. Mercola, a natural health doctor, and it's about them trying to silence him. Dr. Mercola talks a lot about nutrition and vitamins, supplements that help mitigate or prevent or help you get over COVID, and they're really coming after him. They're trying to censor him, and I absolutely agree. It's horrible. But the comment below said, this is the Biden administration and the FDA and Bill Gates working against Dr. Mercola. But I read the story, and this was going on last August during the Trump administration. So listeners, right. It is the Biden administration and the FDA going against this natural health doctor. The problem is it's not just the Biden administration. Biden's administration is a bunch of lackeys and corporatists, and they certainly will continue the fight, but this goes on across every administration. This was the Trump FDA that started the fight against Dr. Mercola, talking about how dare he talk about vitamin D. And so this is the partisanship. This is this idea that when you see things that are going wrong today, you look at them and you go, well, look at that. It's Joe Biden. You look at gas prices. Look at that. Biden's only been in office for a month and gas prices have gone up 30%. Well, that is not just Joe Biden, who certainly is not good for the energy markets, but it is a long line of Biden and his predecessors who have basically destroyed the American dollar. You're going to see a lot of things get very, very expensive. But to think that this is just a consequence of Joe Biden, you need to go back and look at inflation across the years. It's just going to get worse and worse and worse until we have some level of hyperinflation here. And the seeds of that are happening right now during the Biden administration with this ridiculous $1.9 trillion plan. But that follows up the last five, including a $2.2 trillion money printing plan by the Trump administration. It was Steven Mnuchin, the Goldman Sachs banker that Trump put into the Treasury, working with Nancy Pelosi to do the $2.2 trillion, or some of the last stimulus things we have. See, it's the partisanship. It gets you to refuse to see what your own guy does. And again, in that little list, I could go on and on. But if there's anything in the Obama list that I gave you that is not factually correct. Emotionally, it may be uncomfortable. Ditto for the Trump thing. If you can tell me one thing in that list I just gave you of things that went on during the Trump administration that were not to the benefit of his base or his voters, then tell me where I'm factually wrong. Now, you may still say he's the least dirty shirt in the hamper. That's fine if you want to continue to do this. But if you think you're going to solve anything by following any of these politicians or these parties, the fact of the matter is, and this study shows it, that people will have just carved these neural pathways in their brains to just dismiss any information that's uncomfortable to them or does not go along with what the crowd. And so many people are so cowardly. Like, you can't go into a group of your former Obama supporters as a reformed, you know, someone who can objectively look at the Obama administration and speak up. You'll be cast from the group. And the story actually goes into the idea that joining these groups is probably, you know, it is somewhere ingrained in us in that there were times where being cast out of the group could cost you your life. Takes a lot of people to hunt down a woolly mammoth. You want to be on the team. You get out there, they send you out of the village. You got to hunt the woolly mammoth on your own. Probably going to starve to death, or you're certainly going to become a very quick vegan. But we're past that now. Free-thinking human beings being cast out, being exercised from partisan group, only become really more independent people. And there's a lot of us out there, sometimes hard to see. Anyway, that was a little bit of a test for your mental cognition. Can you accept any of those things of your favorite dear leader and realize that there is no savior out there for you? And these two parties are certainly not it.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I'm not a climate change, man-made climate change guy. I'm a, the Earth goes through cycles all the time. I don't know if we're warming up, if we're cooling down. I don't know. Probably depends on the sun, where we are in space. I don't know. There's a whole lot of things going into it. But I'm not a man-made catastrophe guy. I don't like pollution. I like efforts to keep our waters clean and our land pure. But I'm not a a Green New Deal guy by any stretch of the imagination. It's absolutely ridiculous, and I'm sure there's, you know, there's a carbon trading markets that Al Gore has been trying to get cranked up, and he's got investments in, or I think $1 trillion a year market. I understand their motivations behind all of these ideas of greening everything up. A lot of money in that. It's like the war on terror for the Republicans. But if you want to talk about man-made catastrophe, the Democrats running everything, that's a man-made catastrophe. There's a lot going on. I haven't talked about it. I may bring somebody on, Guns and Gear, Boondock, somebody to talk about some of these new, Dianne Feinstein's up to her old tricks of trying to pass new gun control legislation. And it'd be very interesting. We'll talk to Stephen Utroska on Thursday. I think I've asked him just about every week, is anybody in the Mississippi State Legislature doing basically a gun sanctuary state push? Because these things are going to come down from D.C. And it is going to be state by state to try to protect your gun rights. And some states appear to be successfully doing that. I hope Mississippi will do that too. We got the kids in cages down. The media is actually paying a little bit of attention to the kids in cages under Joe Biden. Of course, they're calling them rec centers and Head Start programs, but they're at least pointing out the fact that we've got a huge illegal immigration problem coming across the southern border. Of course, Joe Biden's hiding and will not talk about it, but that's going on. So they're actually really horrible things. There's another story out now that Joe Biden is planning on the biggest tax hike since 1993. Now, I'm suspicious of this. They talk about raising corporate rates. First of all, to all you leftists out there, you do understand that when they talk about raising corporate taxes, they're talking about increasing the prices of the things you buy. Do you understand that corporations never pay taxes? The consumer pays all taxes. Corporations don't set up their business, figure out their profit margins, make some money, and then at the end of the year, their accountant comes in and goes, oh, you thought you made $1 billion. You actually only made $600 million. No. If their goal is to make $1 billion, then they jack up their prices consistent with whatever excess taxes they're going to pay. They pass that on to the consumer so that their profits are insured. Everybody does that. So you can get all excited about it, but you're going to be footing the bill. Corporations don't pay taxes. The people do. And when it comes to, I think they're planning on raising taxes on anybody making over $400,000 a year. That will hit the upper middle class very hard. But the elites, the people, the billionaire class, the Bill Gates, the Jeff Bezos, those people will have all kinds of carve-outs, ways that they can avoid these huge tax increases. You're only hurting some of the most productive people in your society. To all you leftists out there, and you know what those small business owners will do? You know what those dentists will do if you raise their taxes? They're going to charge a little bit more for their services when you come in for that root canal. Dummy. Pretty easy to figure out. You have even the slightest grasp of economics. And speaking of economics, this is interesting. I did this math the other day, but I think I might have missed a bailout or two. President Biden just signed this sweeping $1.9 trillion spending package into law. Once this bill hits the books, total taxpayer expenditure on what is considered, I guess I should air quote it here in the studio, COVID relief, will hit $6 trillion, which roughly estimated comes out to $41,870 in spending per federal taxpayer. So with all of these bailout bills that they have done, and again, now there are six of them, five under the Donald Trump administration, one ridiculously outrageous-sized, horribly directed one under the Biden administration, $6 trillion. Each American taxpayer could have gotten $41,870 with all this newly fresh printed money that your kids are going to pay for. What did people get? We had, what, was it $1,400, $600, and now another, what's this one, $1,400 again? Or no, it was $1,200, $600, and $1,400. So quick math puts that at, what, $3,200? They've spent $41,870 per taxpayer, but instead you got $3,200. And you know, it's interesting that I don't have time to get into it, nor are people really interested. The Federal Reserve is going to be speaking again this week, talking about interest rates. And it hit me the other day. You understand that the Federal Reserve can never again raise interest rates voluntarily? They're going to lose control of the bond market, and you are going to see the interest that you're charged on any money that you borrow is going to go through the roof because the Fed's going to lose control. They can never And I am using that word very cautiously. They can never raise interest rates back to normal levels again. Let me tell you how that works. The federal government is layering on so much debt that the only way that this government can pay its bills, can survive, is by paying almost nothing on the debt that it is taking on. They've got to pay. Right now, it's about 1.6% on the 10-year bond. That's what the federal government will have to pay to borrow any money, 1.6%. Last year, they were paying about 0.6% in a true insane level. Would you give the government your money for 10 years if they gave you 1.6% a year? Because you know inflation is tracking 3% at least, probably 5%, 7%, 10%, depending on where you spend your money. Why would you give the government, loan them any money at 1.6%, knowing that you were actually going backwards? It would be a better financial decision to take that money and buy everything you thought you were going to need to buy over the next 10 years today. You'd come out financially ahead. Yet our government tries to convince people to loan them money at 1.6%. But the bottom line is, as soon as the Fed even says, hey, next year we're going to raise interest rates a little bit, as soon as they do that, who is going to buy a 10-year bond at 1.6% when they know next year the bond's going to be trading, you know, they're going to get 2.5% on their money, just as an example, out of my rear end. Who locks themselves into 10-year money, 10-year debt, at 1.6% when they know if they wait a year, they're going to get 1%, 2% more? They won't. They'll wait. And what happens then? Nobody buys the bonds. The bonds have to naturally increase the interest rate until it gets up to that level. I don't know if that makes sense to everybody. The prices of bonds goes down when interest rates go up. The bonds that are already out there trading at one, if you were offered a bond paying you 2.5% or paying you 1.5%, which bond would you pay more for? You'd pay more for the one paying 2.5%, right? The Federal Reserve can never, never voluntarily. See, what they've done in the past is they've lowered rates a little bit and raised them a little bit. I don't even like that. That is not free market. That is manipulation of our economy. And it caused horrible problems to which they just did more. They raised them more. They actually didn't raise them more. They just started lowering them more and more and more until under Obama they got to zero. And then Trump demanded they slam them right back to zero again. The moment they announced that they may someday raise rates, it could even be 3 years down the road, would you buy a 30-year bond paying you 2% a year? When you know that just in a couple of years, that 30-year bond is going to pay you 4% or 5%, of course you wouldn't buy that now. And so the second they even announce raising interest rates, it destroys the bond market. I cannot imagine how this thing is going to play out. And they are able to stack all of this debt right now. I don't know what last year will come in as the official numbers, but I have counted about 10 trillion dollars. The Federal Reserve took its balance sheet from 4 trillion, actually I think it was 3.8 trillion, up to like 7.6 trillion dollars right now. They added 3 trillion, almost 4 trillion dollars to their balance sheet, which is just another place to park U.S. debt. It should be added, as far as I'm concerned, into that national debt figure, which would take us up to about 32, 33 trillion dollars. And then our own federal government has passed $6 trillion in stimulus without cutting any services anywhere else. They don't cut anything to pay for. The military-industrial complex still getting their $1 trillion a year. They didn't cut anything. So I don't know what the official figure will come out, but it looks to me like about $10 trillion new dollars just in the past year. It took us about 235 years just to get to the first $10 trillion. We did it again in 1 year, really within the span of, what, 10 months? We've added another $10 trillion in debt. And the only way they can get away with that is the Federal Reserve keeping interest rates down at zero. We pay right now around $600 billion a year. When you look at your paychecks and you think you're contributing to the price of a civilized society with your federal tax dollars, you're just nibbling away just at the interest on the debt. I think it's something like $600 billion a year, and this is with historically low interest rates. What happens when the interest rates the federal government has to pay on this debt is 3%, 4%, 5%, like normal? You're going to be talking about trillions of dollars just in interest payments on the debt. for your children and your grandchildren. And I did the story last week. It's something like 68% of Republicans are for these stimmies. They're okay with Biden's plan because they're getting a stimmy. And if anybody can explain to me how this is not just like grown-ups taking out credit cards in their children's names, running up the bill, and then when the children get grown, they just hand over the bill and go, oh, look at this, you got a $30,000 credit card here you need to start paying on. I'm out. I don't really know what the difference is. This is exactly what it feels like to me. It feels like entire generations, particularly the baby boomers and Gen Xers, of which I am one, sounds like entire generations running up credit card debt and then just handing it off to the kids when they get to be productive, working-aged adults. Here you go, kids. We had a blast. I got my stimmy. We did a little bit of home remodeling. You remember that vacation we took back in 2021 when the cruise ships came back online? You remember that, kids? We took you on that Disney cruise. Well, it's time for you to pay it back. You didn't know you were paying for it at the time. You know, the kids go up to the mom and the dad. Hey, I saw a little something. Can I buy something? And the parents go, no, we're not made of money. Yet the sick little fact is that all these little vacations and all these little extras that the adults are spending their stimmies on right now are actually being charged to these children in the first place. The most irresponsible generations. And boomers, I'm especially mad at you. You got this ball rolling. That's not a popular belief either. You think you contributed so much, but you took your eye off the ball and you normalized this insanity. And our poor children, oh, my heart breaks for them. I tell my kids about that all the time.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, only got a few minutes left in this show. You know, I think I stumbled upon something here, talking about our kids bearing the cost of all this. Now, we're only, again, they're spending $41,000 of taxpayer dollars on all of these stimuluses. We're only getting $3,400, U.S. taxpayer. But, you know, the only responsible thing, if you get a stimmy in, now some people say, I'm not even going to cash that because I don't want to be on the government dole. I totally disagree with that. They stole that money from you in the first place. If you got a chance to get a little bit of it back, I encourage you to. I think there are better ways to do it. I think there should be a nationwide tax strike. I don't know why conservatives continue to feed this beast. But you do because you're scared. You're scared of your own government. Anyway, if you get these little checks back, it seems to me the only responsible thing to do with a stimulus check is to put it into a trust account for your children. Not use it. Not go buy something with it. Now, it's a shame. I'd like to see us stimulate the economy. But the funny thing is, David Stockman, he was the director of Office of Management and Budget back during the Reagan years. Very smart guy. He did the math. Do you know that the total lost wages in 2020 were something like $286 billion. Again, that is the government itself basically starving its own citizens, some of them, particularly the service sector. Now, I'm not going to be exact. I'm going to pull this article up, and I'll probably get to it on the show tomorrow. But it was something like $286 billion was lost wages in 2020. And they've spent $6 trillion to fix a $286 billion problem. So if you get a stimulus check in, it seems like if I can be the one voice, because children don't have a voice, do they? Who's out there speaking up for the children? Nobody. All the politicians say they're doing it for the kids. We love the children. For our children, they say. As soon as they come up with anything and say, we're doing this for the kids. We're supposed to feel all sympathetic, but nobody actually speaks up for the children. You know, they can't vote. I'm glad they can't. I actually think you should have to be about 35 before you should be able to vote. That doesn't even assure a good result. there are smarter 18-year-olds out there than there are 50-year-olds out there. It just depends on the person. I think an IQ test is appropriate, too. But anyway, the only responsible thing to do with a stimulus check at this point is to take it and put it into something. Possibly, probably best bet, maybe gold and silver. Buy gold and silver for your children and sock it away some year. So that when you hand over this broken, bankrupt country to your kids because you allowed it to be hollowed out and destroyed just so that you could make it to the end of your working life in some level of comfort, you can hand it over to them and say, hey, good luck. This was really your money to begin with. We took all of our stimulus checks and we invested them for you. I mean, you can't put it into a savings account, can you? What, you're going to get a quarter of 1%? You get a quarter of 1% so that Jeff Bezos can borrow at a quarter of 1%. But it seems to me that if you want to do anything with a stimulus check, the best thing you can do is sock it away for your children. They're going to need it. Believe me, they are going to need it. They're going to step out into an inflationary world where nothing is affordable. And because most of them will still be living with you, because we will have so economically destroyed this country, then maybe they'll share it. Maybe they'll buy you a burger down the road somewhere. But if you take this money from future generations and spend it on yourselves right now, shame on you. Entire generations of people based on self-interest and greed. Crying shame. That's all the time I got. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.